to you. I concur with what the preacher said. The way I tell music, I was out there a long time lost, and music that speaks to your heart, then that's what the Spirit of God bears witness to. And music gets that flesh going, then that's probably not what you want. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and everything that you're going to come across is going to feed one or the other. And when it feeds the wrong one, then you don't grow. And so I trust that, I say all that, I guess, to say this. It's the word, Christian music, it's the words. Amen. It's the meaning, it's the message in the songs that makes the difference. And that even makes up for sometimes the lack in the musicians, which you're about to find out about. Amen. All right. Man, was this for Jack Patterson? When's he getting here? He could help us, amen.
Want to put it down?
Yeah.
No, we'll take care of it. You know how to do that? It's mechanical. Well, marriage conference is over. And then back to reality. All right. Now, supposed to look at that. I'll figure this out. Ready? You ready? You're ready.
I was lost and alone in this whole dark world. No peace of mind, no freedom could I see. But little did I know I had a friend somewhere. Someone I didn't know saw some good in me. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed their time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God could bring me out, that He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. I trusted in the things that the world forbid, not knowing soon they all would pass away. But because someone cared enough to pray for me, I trusted God and now I'm safe today. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They sacrificed the time. They fell down on their knees and prayed for me. They had no doubt that God could bring me out, that He could change my life and set me free. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me. I'm so glad that someone prayed for me.
Amen. Aren't you? Amen. I had a praying mama. Boy, I tell you what, I'm glad I did. Amen. Never gave up on me. All right. How do you know?
Because I don't want to be hurt.
You want me to drown you out? That's what time is.
Amen.
All right, I don't know if this one's on or not. Let me take a look.
Strange.
It's on. Can you hear me now? We're doing Verizon commercials again, amen. All right, praise the Lord. This has got a message in it. I'll tell you what, it spoke to my heart. Probably tried to sing it 10 times before I could get through it without tearing up. Amen. And I'll pray you get a blessing out of it, too.
He stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in. And he wondered how this holy place would take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing, and with music then they came. And the angels standing by him, he asked what could be their name. A goodly fellowship of souls. fell upon his knee. And cried, I am not worthy. Then suddenly a multitude was heard from far away. Their voices rang with songs of joy, like children at their play. He saw Rahab, he saw David, Mary Magdalene, and Paul, and the thief who died by Jesus was the one who led them all. Who are these? The almost shouted at the angels. These are the sinners saved by grace. The host of them who called upon the Savior, washed in the blood and justified by faith.
Tonight, so I'll have to preach really quickly. Amen, right. All right, open your Bibles tonight. That'd be a good way to start, wouldn't it? Amen. I didn't come here to share. I'm not going to make you cope. We're just going to look and see what the Bible says. How about that? Amen?
Amen?
That'd make it worth your time coming out tonight. I appreciate coming out tonight. Amen. Let me say this to you. This Sunday school teacher this time, ask her Sunday school class. She had 5 and 6-year-olds. You guys, many of you, men and ladies, worked with kids this week. That was a real blessing. Amen. This particular situation here, the teacher asked the children in her class. She said this. She said, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale, and gave all the money to the church, would I get to go to heaven? She's asking her class that. And the kids, 5, 6 years old, they all answered in unison. They went, no! And she was pleased with that. That meant they were paying attention. She said, if I cleaned the church every day, mowed the lawn when I needed it, kept everything neat and tidy, would I get to go to heaven then? And all the little kids, they went, no! And then she said, well, what if I got baptized and joined the church and kept the commandments and never did anything wrong? Would I get to go to heaven then? And all the little kids, they responded, no, and the teacher was glad. She was happy about that. Amen. If I asked those same questions in some churches I go to, I wouldn't get the right answer. Amen. No, wait a minute. This is the story. The preaching later, and so the teacher said this. She said, "Well, class, what would I have to do to get to heaven?" And a little 5-year-old in the back said, he stood up and he said, "You got to be dead." But. And that's how kids think, amen? Being dead won't get you into heaven. We just sang about the blood of Jesus Christ. That being dead will get you into hell. You die without your sins under that blood. Amen? I'm glad today to know that my name's in the book of life. Thank you, dear brother. And open your Bibles now. Did I tell you where? I didn't? I feel so powerful right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Thank you for this. Amen. If I had a verse, well, I do have a verse. This is it. If you were to ask me what my life verse was, and I've got a lot of them now, but when I first got saved in the Montgomery County Jail 19 years ago, coming up here in November, I got saved and the preacher came, Brother Gresham, and your pastor knows my pastor, and he came and would try to, I don't know if you'd call it disciple, I was brand new saved, I mean days, and he came and they let him meet with me in the attorney privilege room. I was on federal lockdown, I was a minister of the prisoners, I was a real mess, but they let him meet with me in the attorney room. He was nervous, I wasn't nervous, but he was, and I said, listen, I did what you said, I didn't even know how to say the word, but I learned the word saved, I asked Christ to forgive me. And I said, I did that, and I got a question. Now, I'm going to go spend the rest of my life in prison, and I understand I deserve that. But I said this. I said, what am I supposed to do now? I didn't need a rocket scientist theologian to tell me that there were things in my life I couldn't go back to. When I got saved, I repented of the wrong. I just didn't know what I was going to do now. Every friend I had, every skill I had, everything was illegal. Amen. I didn't have an occupation. Amen. Everything I knew how to do, everything I excelled at was against the law. Amen. I'd been at it a long time. And so I asked that preacher, and I thought I was going to go to prison, and I said, what am I supposed to do now? I don't even have any friends. And he looked at me seriously, like he still does, like, you know, what planet is this guy from? And he opened his Bible and he opened it to 2 Corinthians 5 and he read that verse that we're about to read, verse 17. And he read it out loud, but more to himself than to me. He is reminding himself of what the verse said, and let's read it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new. And as he stood there face to face with me with his Bible in his hand, he read the verse and he meditated for just a moment and he looked up at me and he says, well, it looks like according to the Word of God that God's going to have to give you some new friends. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'd just like to report with great joy that God has given me some new friends. And I count First Bible Church on that list. And your pastor, especially, a very dear friend. And so I embraced that verse early on and claimed that for my life verse. And even now as I look at it, it's outlined in red. And underneath it are the dates, November 30th, 1990. And today I was able to, right here, right there, show that verse and those dates to Roy, who, if you had anything to do with praying for sinners today, like I asked you to, those prayers bore fruit today. Amen. On more than one occasion, from what I understand. And so this verse is very precious to me. And we've already read it. And I want to preach on some things about that new creature. And would that be all right? That'd be all right. So let's pray and proceed. Father, I love you. And come to you in the magnificent name of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things good and decent and right. And Lord, we're assembled here tonight in your name to try to get closer to you, Lord. And that'd be the purpose of our meeting this week, to be closer to you at the end than we are right now. And that's our desire. And Father, I pray that you'd bless our meager effort. And I pray that you'd be pleased with us tonight. And I pray that that just doesn't mean the preaching, but how the preaching's received. Bless First Bible Church, Lord God, and all things go on here and these precious folk. And I love you tonight, Lord. And I pray that you just manifest yourself mightily in this message. And it's not going to happen. Any good is not going to happen unless you do. So acknowledge that and pray that you direct my thoughts, my path, in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. Now, recently, I don't know, when I say recently, I'm an evangelist, so things kind of run together. It was last fall, I guess now. But I was in a place, and there's a television going, big screen television, a whole bunch of them. I don't have a television, amen. And I don't have the time for it, amen. I would waste so much time, amen. I've been away from that thing for a long time. I haven't seemed to have suffered because of it any. I don't know all the latest shows. I've never seen American Idol. I thought idol was a bad word in the Bible, so I don't care nothing about that kind of stuff, amen. But so therefore, it's kind of fascinating. I was somewhere and they were selling them, I think it was, big screens and Marvels. These giant screen TVs, they're amazing to me. Now, that's really nothing new. They had big screens when I was a kid back in the 50s. Wow, I'm really giving my age away now. And in the 60s, only back then they called them drive-ins, amen. They called them drive-ins. Now people have them in their living rooms, amen. I don't get it. But here I was walking, and boy, something caught my eye. And, you know, when you're not around something, it's kind of fascinating. And I'm just watching. There's no sound. I'm not hearing anything. But I'll never forget the thing that caught my attention. All of a sudden on screen was there's a picture. It was a house. It was a house. It was a house. Looked like a house in the side of town I was living on when the Lord saved me. It wasn't because I couldn't afford to live on the better side. It's just that when you don't pay taxes for 20 years or so, you don't live in the fancy neighborhoods. You'll attract attention you don't want. I attracted attention I didn't want anyway, but I contribute that to my mom praying, amen. Here's this big old house. It was looking pretty rough, and all of a sudden, a van pulled up front, and vehicles pulled up on two sides of that thing, and men jumped out kind of in a hurry, and that got my attention. I'd seen this kind of thing in real life, so I paused and I started watching. Guys jumped out and doors started coming open and grabbing equipment. They surrounded the place and they rushed it. I started getting flashbacks. Amen. I watched for a few minutes. They got to the front door. They took their tools and they tore the front door off the hinges. They rushed in. The kitchen sink come flying out of the window. They kind of did a time elapsed photography thing. I can't even believe I said that right. And cabinets came out and they tore this place up in just a matter of however long I stood there, which is, people are probably wondering, what is wrong with this guy? Well, I don't get this at home, amen. I was really, let me just say, I was appalled at the violence of this program, amen. It was very violent. It took me a few minutes. I said it like this one time. I said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. It took me a few minutes to figure out. Let me say this. I'm not a spoon, though, either, okay? All right? So, you know, don't get too confused. Listen, here I figured out what they're doing. They're remodeling the place. They're remodeling. I thought, boy, these guys are all undercover. Amen. They're dressed like carpenters and plumbers. And I've seen that kind of thing, too, so that didn't. Let me say this. When they attacked that old house, it was filthy. It was rotten. It was dirty. It was really, literally, a shambles, and it was unfit. It was unoccupied. It was condemned. It was unfit for its original purpose. There was a time when that house was built brand new, not unlike any other house. It was brand new. It was beautiful, but it wasn't beautiful anymore. It was a mess. It was condemned. Let me say it again. It was unfit for its original purpose. And boy, in the course of the time I watched that through that fast-forwarding process, they went in there and they tore that thing. They stripped it, they gutted it, and then they started to rebuild it. And boy, when they got done, you'd have never recognized it. Amen. In the beginning, it was ugly, and when they were done, it was beautiful. And in the beginning, it was disgusting. And boy, I tell you what, when they got done, it was desirable, and it went from being worthless to something very valuable. And I'm just watching. I'm kind of fascinated. I'm easily amused, you know. I realized what was going on. I think they said the name. I don't know if it's the name of the show, or they certainly said what it was about. It was called Extreme Makeover. and they'd given this house an extreme makeover. You know, that fascinated me, that whole thing. Here's why. If you're in here tonight and you're saved, and I know many of you are, I don't know that everybody is, but if you are, you can think back to a time when you was much like that old house. That book says in Revelation chapter 4 that you were created, amen, for the pleasure of Jesus Christ. And that was your intended original purpose. But if you're saved here tonight, there was a time when you weren't. There's a time when you weren't, when you were more like that old house than you were that house after they got done with it. Amen. You were unfit for your intended purpose. And I'm going to tell you what happened. If you're saved in here tonight, if you're saved, if you're not saved in here tonight, you're not fulfilling your intended purpose. Your intended purpose is to bring pleasure to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something right now. He'll get no pleasure from seeing you cast into a lake of fire in light of what Jesus Christ did to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. He'll find no pleasure in that at all. Lord created you to bring pleasure to Him, and my Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. My Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that cometh repentance. You want to bring joy to your to my Savior tonight, make Him yours. For those of you that are, for those of you that have made the transformation, for those of you that have had the extreme makeover, I can describe to you what happened in two words. I'm an evangelist, so I'm going to use many, many more than that. But I could describe it in two words. Here they are. But God. But God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm happy today that God interceded on my behalf and on yours, if you're safe in here tonight, interceded with love and mercy. If there's anything God needed to be rich in, amen, to save the likes of us, to consider the likes of us, to make a way for the likes of us, to have our sins forgiven, to have a clean slate, to be washed white as snow, to get our names in the book of life, if there's anything that God needed to be rich in, it was mercy, and I'm happy to report that He is. I'm happy that book says in Romans 5, like we said today, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen, amen, amen. I'll tell you what happened when you got saved. I think it was pretty extreme. You went from being a child of the devil to a child of God. That kind of extreme, amen? You went from being lost to being found. You went from, amen, you went from having your name on a list that was going to spend eternity in hell to the book of life. And those that have spent eternity, that's pretty extreme. 180 degrees, pretty extreme. Amen? But when you got saved, you got redeemed. You got born again. Amen. You got bought back. Amen. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, man. I'm going to tell you what, yeah, that's an extreme makeover to be converted, amen, from a sinner, amen, to a child of God. And that's what happened to you, kind of like the house. And now you have the capability to be pleasing to your Creator. Now you have the capability, amen, to be pleasing and fulfill your originally intended, your created purpose. And it's all because of that extreme makeover. Amen. I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's exactly what goes on when a person becomes a child of God. They get an extreme makeover. Amen? Let me give you some things about that. Let me say, first of all, that the extreme makeover is extremely necessary if you even think that there's any possibility and you spend an eternity in heaven. It's absolutely imperative. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not heard of Christ. Not having read a book about Christ. Not having acknowledged That he is a historical figure. That's not what it says. It doesn't say, if any man know of Christ. That's not what it says. If that's what it said, that's the way I'd preach it. But it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I can walk around his class, I better take a drink and put it down, huh? They brought me that big old bucket this morning, amen, and I never slowed down long enough to turn around and take a drink. And then when I got done, I looked at that thing and took two hands to pick it up. Amen, I'd have poured that all over myself today. Amen. Listen, here's what it doesn't say. You know, the Bible says a lot by what it doesn't say. Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be in church, he's a new creature. It doesn't say that. There's millions of Americans that were in church this morning that are hoping that's what it means, but it isn't. It isn't what it means. It isn't what it says. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be in the baptistry, he's a new creature. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that anywhere in that Bible. But there's people that believe that. It doesn't say, if any man be a good person. Well, there'd be a lot of people bound for heaven. Listen, we can preach it like this, that everybody's a bunch of wicked, evil. But I'm just be honest with you, as an evangelist, traveling coast to coast, I run into a lot of nice people, friendly people. Amen. I think most Americans are pretty decent folks, doing the best they can, make a living, take care of the family. You watch too much television, you listen too much of the news media, you get the idea everybody's wicked, weird, and perverted. I'm here to tell you, as somebody that spends his life on the road, most people aren't that way. Most people are pretty decent folks. I don't have a hard time getting along with people. People treat you all right if you treat them all right. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this too. I'm obligated by my calling to tell you that being a good person isn't going to get you into heaven, isn't going to get you the extreme makeover. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be reformed. It doesn't say, if any man go straight. Amen. Tell you what, 19 years ago, if I'd have went straight, I guarantee you I'd have went crooked again by now. Amen. Doesn't say if any man get rehabilitated. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. We're talking about this extreme makeover is extremely necessary to go to heaven. It doesn't say if any man turn over a new leaf. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to become a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Either you're in Christ or you're not. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's either you got it or you don't. If you got it, that's settled. You are signed, sealed, and all but delivered. And if you're not, you need it. And you can still get it. But you need to understand, you need it. Amen? This extreme makeover is absolutely necessary. Nobody is going to heaven outside of being in Christ. Nobody's going to get there by being in Mohammed. Nobody at all. Jesus Christ died on the cross for every other religion, every other race, every other crowd. He died for everybody. And I'll tell you what, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And like I said this morning, I've had people try to argue, well, what about you, friend? That's what you need to think about today. What about you? Where are you going to spend eternity? I'm here to tell you, this extreme makeover is absolutely imperative. It's extremely necessary. If you even think for one second you're going to spend one millisecond in heaven, being in Buddha is not going to get you there. That book says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Personally, I'm glad that this is like a multiple choice test with only one answer. I got a chance of getting that right. Amen. If there are three or four choices based on all the bad choices I made in my life, I'd probably blow this too. I'm glad it's not multiple choice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can you tell me what that means? Sure, I'd love to. It says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what it means. And it's extremely necessary. Being in Christ is the only thing that's going to get anybody into heaven. Amen? I know that sounds narrow-minded, but I'm going to say this on a more positive note. You know, we want to balance this out with being positive, you know. That's so important to me. I'm so interested in being politically correct. Just a second. That stuff makes me sick. Amen. I'd like to say this to you, that the extreme makeover is extremely necessary, but it's extremely possible. And I'm really happy about that, because that way I got it in on it. Amen. I'd look at people, man, I'm going, you know, if Dave Spurgeon can get saved, amen. I mean, what excuse could anybody have? Amen. Absolutely none. Why? Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Lord Jesus Christ, that, watch this, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're saved here tonight, it's because you got in on the whosoever clause. Amen, like me. Amen, whosoever, what does that mean? Well, if you trace that back to the original English, it means whosoever. Duh. Amen, I'm telling you, I'm happy to report that, listen, religion complicates this stuff. This stuff's not complicated. If it was, we'd be in more trouble than we're already in. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, it says this, and it shall come to pass, now this is Acts chapter 2, this is where most of the kooks, oh, that wasn't very nice, was it? Anyway, that's where most of the kooks get their doctrine, amen. Acts chapter 2, Acts is a transitional book, amen. Now, you don't go to Acts chapter 2 to get doctrine for this age, amen. A lot of people try, though. It says this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, and it shall come to pass, it hadn't yet, he's preaching to Jews there. It hadn't yet. It's gonna, because it says in a chapter in the past, that whosoever, there it is again, see, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I get travel around, I don't know what's around here, but I get spend a lot of time in traveling around the country in the crowd that believes Acts 2:38 is the definitive verse on salvation, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Amen. Listen, Alexander Campbell should have stopped at, not at verse 38, but at verse 21. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't need to go to verse 38 and go to the baptism. He should have just stopped right there and find out that salvation is by calling on the Lord. Said it shall come to pass. And in Romans chapter 10, it did. In verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does John Calvin do with that verse? Calvinism upsets me. Now listen, I know some kooks, they got some things messed up about this and about that. But anybody that even implies that my God predestines anybody to a lake of fire, that's of the devil. I'm not tolerating that junk. Because when you try to say only elect's going up, that means there's people in this room that no matter what, they're going down. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not my God. I'm going to tell you something, I'm happy to report this extreme makeover is extremely necessary, but it's extremely possible. In one of the songs, I think it's in one of the songs, amen, I don't know, I've heard it said enough times, he'll save the guttermost to the uttermost. I know this isn't one of the hymns, talks about the vilest offender going free. I'll tell you what, that brings a tear to my eye, amen. Amen, you may struggle with your memory, but God doesn't. God doesn't. Amen. Amen. You may have friends that'll throw it in your face, but God never will. God will. There's one of the songs that we sing, not us, but one of the songs that's in one of the old camp meeting books. It goes like this. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. That's the way it is. That's the way it is with God. Amen? Yeah, you might have to deal with them, but God's done with them. God's done with them because they're under the blood. Amen. I'm telling you, this extreme makeover is absolutely extremely necessary, but it's extremely possible. If you're Satan here today, your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Amen. And I like to say this too. Anybody that goes to hell, And people do. And I guess I could prove to the Bible that most people are going to. But nobody has to. Nobody has to. And I'll tell you this right here. And I know this is true. Anybody that does, they do it despite the love of God. They do it in spite of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. Friend, if you could make it into heaven any other way, why would he have had to go to the cross? Just for us wicked people? Nobody's getting there without the blood of Christ. And if you die and go to hell, it's because you've neglected, like preacher said this morning, or flat out rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've gone in spite of the word of God saying you don't have to, and the Lord's not willing that any should perish, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I dealt with that guy today. I heard him say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm just not doing right. And he got over here and he said, yeah, I got the problem that I belong to a bike gang. I said, let me ask you a question, man. I said, look me in the eye right here and tell me where you'd go if you died right now. I didn't ask him to say it. I said, where would you go if you died right now? He said, I'd go to hell. I said, that's what you need to be dealing with right now. You need to get your sins forgiven. You need to get saved. That's putting a horse before the cart right there. And that boy Nelton got saved today. Amen. What a crying shame this guy with all these tattoos and pins and ponytail and all. What a crying shame. Him and me and some of the rest of us will be in heaven and you won't. Because you didn't get a hold of the fact that it's extremely necessary and you didn't take advantage of the fact that it's extremely possible. And it's extremely possible. And please don't die and go to hell in spite of the Holy Spirit of God saying come. Please don't die and go to hell in spite of folks praying for you. We sing that song, Somebody Prayed for Me. Listen, I'll tell you what, every testimony, everybody in here that's saved got a testimony. And some of us came from the uttermost and some from the guttermost. But everybody in here is a product of somebody praying for them.
Amen.
Now, if you're in here today and you're not saved, somebody's praying for you.
Amen.
Please don't die and go to hell. Please don't. Amen. It's your choice. It's your decision. It's your right. But oh, it'd be a bad choice today. Jesus Christ went to the cross to make it possible for your sins to be forgiven. I know people that have tried everything else. Well, I tell you what, they need to try Jesus Christ. He's the real thing, amen. But I tell you what, I never experienced this. I can't really comprehend this. I can understand it. I mean, you can lay it out to me and I can analyze facts and I can understand that there's people by comparison to the wickedness that's going on, don't see their need.
Yeah, I concur with what the preacher said. The way I tell the music, I was out there a long time lost, and music that speaks to your heart, then that's what the Spirit of God bears witness to. And music gets that flesh going, then that's probably not what you want. The Bible says the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and everything that you're going to come across is going to feed one or the other. And when it feeds the wrong one, then you don't grow. And so I trust that, I say all that, I guess, to say this. It's the word. Christian music, it's the words. Amen. It's the meaning, it's the message in the songs that makes the difference. And that even makes up for sometimes the lack in the musicians, which you're about to find out about. Amen. All right. Man, was this for Jack Patterson? When's he getting here? He could help us, amen.
Want to put it down?
Yeah.
No, we'll take care of it. You know how to do that? Well, marriage conference is over. And then back to reality. All right. Now, supposed to look at them. I figured it out. Ready? You ready? You ready?
I was lost and alone in this whole dark world. No peace of mind, no freedom could I see. But little did I know I had a friend somewhere. Someone I didn't know saw some good in me. Somebody prayed for me. They had me on their mind. They said, go
Now we're doing Verizon commercials again, amen. All right, praise the Lord. This has got a message in it. I'll tell you what, it spoke to my heart. Probably tried to sing it 10 times before I could get through it without tearing up. Amen. And I'll pray you get a blessing out of it too.
Stood beside the gate of heaven, waiting to go in, and he wondered how his holy place would take a man like him. With shouts of great rejoicing and with music, then they came, and the angels standing by him. He asked what could be their name.
Save me.
free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. Though he thought that there could be no hallelujahs and no cries for this lonely band of people by the world despised. But as the seas of heaven opened up before his eyes, he saw the martyrs and the prophets and the host of heaven rise. And they sang, I can go in, for my heart is free from sin. I've been washed in the blood, everlasting life to win. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in. I can rejoice, I can lift up my voice, I can sing, and I can go in.
Amen. I like that, man. Praise the Lord.
All right, mm-hmm. That's enough singing. Okay. Reckon? Yeah, I knew you'd say yeah, amen. All right, praise the Lord. I didn't get any water tonight, so I'll have to preach really quickly. Amen, right. All right, open your Bibles tonight. That'd be a good way to start, wouldn't it? Amen. I didn't come here to share. I'm not going to make you cope. We're just going to look and see what the Bible says. How about that? Amen? That'd make it worth your time coming out tonight. I appreciate coming out tonight. Amen. Let me say this to you. This Sunday school teacher this time, ask her Sunday school class. She had 5 and 6-year-olds. You guys, many of you, men and ladies, worked with kids this week. That was a real blessing. Amen. And this particular situation here, the teacher asked the children in her class. She said this. She said, if I sold my house and my car, had a big garage sale and gave all the money to the church, when I get to go to heaven? She's asking her class that, and the kids, 5, 6 years old, they all answered in unison. They went, no! And she's pleased with that. That meant they're paying attention. She said, if I cleaned the church every day, mowed the lawn when I needed it, kept everything neat and tidy, would I get to go to heaven then? And all the little kids, they went, no! And then she said, well, what if I got baptized and joined the church and kept the commandments and never did anything wrong? Would I get to go to heaven then? And all the little kids, they responded, no. And the teacher was glad. She was happy about that. Amen. If I asked those same questions in some churches I go to, I wouldn't get the right answer. Amen. No, wait a minute. This is the story, the preaching later. And so the teacher said this. She said, well, class, what would I have to do to get to heaven? And a little 5-year-old in the back said, he stood up and he said, you got to be dead. But, and that's how kids think, amen? Being dead won't get you into heaven. We just sang about the blood of Jesus Christ. That being dead will get you into hell. You die without your sins under that blood. Amen? I'm glad today to know that my name's in the book of life. Thank you, dear brother. And open your Bibles now. Did I tell you where? I didn't? Ha-ha. I feel so powerful right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Amen. Thank you for this. Amen. If I had a verse, well, I do have a verse. This is it. If you were to ask me what my life verse was, and I've got a lot of them now, but when I first got saved in the Montgomery County Jail 19 years ago, coming up here in November, I got saved and the preacher came, Brother Gresham, and your pastor knows my pastor, and he came and would try to, I don't know if you'd call it disciple, I was brand new saved, I mean days. And he came and they let him meet with me in the attorney privilege room. I was on federal lockdown. I was a minister of the prisoners. I was a real mess. But they let him meet with me in the attorney room. He was nervous. I wasn't nervous, but he was. And I said, listen, I did what you said. I didn't even know how to say the word, but I learned the word saved. I asked Christ to forgive me. And I said, I did that. And I got a question. Now I'm going to go spend the rest of my life in prison. And I understand I deserve that. But I said this. I said, what am I supposed to do now? I didn't need a rocket scientist theologian to tell me that there were things in my life I couldn't go back to. When I got saved, I repented of the wrong. I just didn't know what I was going to do now. Every friend I had, every skill I had, everything was illegal. Amen. I didn't have an occupation. Amen. Everything I knew how to do, everything I excelled at was against the law. Amen. I'd been at it a long time. And so I asked that preacher, and I thought I was going to go to prison, and I said, what am I supposed to do now? I don't even have any friends. And he just, he looked at me seriously, like he still does, like, you know, what planet is this guy from? And he opened his Bible, and he opened it to 2 Corinthians 5, and he read that verse that we're about to read, verse 17. And he read it out loud, but more to himself than to me. He is reminding himself of what the verse said, and let's read it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as he stood there face to face with me with his Bible in his hand, he read the verse and he meditated for just a moment. And he looked up to me and he says, well, it looks like according to the Word of God, that God's going to have to give you some new friends. Amen. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And I'd just like to report with great joy that God has given me some new friends. And I count First Bible Church on that list. And your pastor, especially, a very dear friend. And so I embraced that verse early on and claimed that for my life verse. And even now, as I look at it, it's outlined in red. And underneath it are the dates. November 30th, 1990. And today I was able to, right here, right there, show that verse and those dates to Roy, who, if you had anything to do with praying for sinners today, like I asked you to, that those prayers bore fruit today. Amen. On more than one occasion, from what I understand. And so this verse is very precious to me, and we've already read it, and I want to preach on some things about that new creature. And would that be all right? That'd be all right. So let's pray and proceed. Father, I love you. And come to you in the magnificent name of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of all things good and decent and right. And Lord, we're assembled here tonight in your name to try to get closer to you, Lord. And that'd be the purpose of our meeting this week, to be closer to you at the end than we are right now. And that's our desire. And Father, I pray that you'd bless our meager effort, and I pray that you'd be pleased with us tonight. And I pray that just doesn't mean the preaching, but how the preaching's received. Bless First Bible Church, Lord God, and all things go on here and these precious folk. And I love you tonight, Lord, and I pray that you'd just manifest yourself mightily in this message. And it's not going to happen. Anything good's not going to happen unless you do. So acknowledge that and pray that you direct my thoughts, my path, in Jesus' name and for His glory. Amen. Amen. Now, recently, I don't know when I say recently, I'm an evangelist, so things kind of run together. It was last fall, I guess now, but I was in a place, and there's a television going, big screen television, a whole bunch of them. I don't have a television, amen, and I don't have the time for it, amen. I would waste so much time, amen, that I've been away from that thing for a long time. I haven't seemed to have suffered because of it any. I don't know all the latest shows. I've never seen American Idol. I thought idol was a bad word in the Bible, so I don't care nothing about that kind of stuff, amen. But so therefore, it's kind of fascinating. I was somewhere and they were selling them, I think it was, big screens and marvels. These giant screen TVs, they're amazing to me. Now, that's really nothing new. They had big screens when I was a kid back in the 50s. Wow, I'm really giving my age away now. And the 60s, only back then they called them drive-ins. Amen. They called them drive-ins. Now people have them in their living rooms. Amen. I don't get it. But here I was walking, and boy, something caught my eye. And, you know, when you're not around something, it's kind of fascinating. And I'm just watching. There's no sound. I'm not hearing anything. But I'll never forget the thing that caught my attention. All of a sudden on screen was there the picture. It was a house. It was a house, looked like a house in the side of town I was living on when the Lord saved me. It wasn't because I couldn't afford to live on the better side. It's just that when you don't pay taxes for 20 years or so, you don't live in the fancy neighborhoods. You'll attract attention you don't want. I attracted attention I didn't want anyway, but I contribute that to my mom praying, amen. Here's this big old house. It was looking pretty rough, and all of a sudden a van pulled up front and vehicles pulled up on two sides of that thing, and men jumped out kind of in a hurry, and that got my attention. I'd seen this kind of thing in real life, and so I paused and I started watching. Guys jumped out and doors started coming open and grabbing equipment. They surrounded the place and they rushed it. I started getting flashbacks. Amen. I watched for a few minutes. They got to the front door. They took their tools and they tore the front door off the hinges. They rushed in. The kitchen sink come flying out of the window. They kind of did a time elapse photography thing. I can't even believe I said that right. And cabinets came out and they tore this place up in just a matter of however long I stood there, which is people are probably wondering, what is wrong with this guy? Well, I don't get this at home, amen. And I was really, let me just say, I was appalled at the violence of this program. Amen. It was very violent. It took me a few minutes. I said it like this one time. I said, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. It took me a few minutes to figure out. Let me say this. I'm not a spoon, though, either, okay? All right? So, you know, don't get too confused. Listen, here I figured out what they're doing. They're remodeling the place. They're remodeling. I thought, boy, these guys are all undercover. They've been there dressed like carpenters and plumbers. And I've seen that kind of thing, too, so that didn't. Let me say this. When they started, when they attacked that old house, it was filthy, it was rotten, it was dirty, it was really, literally a shambles, and it was unfit. It was unoccupied, it was condemned, it was unfit for its original purpose. There was a time when that house was built brand new, not unlike any other house. It was brand new, it was beautiful. But it wasn't beautiful anymore. It was a mess. It was a mess. It was condemned. Let me say it again. It was unfit for its original purpose. And boy, in the course of the time I watched that through that fast-forwarding process, they went in there and they tore that thing. They stripped it. They gutted it. And then they started to rebuild it. And boy, when they got done, you'd have never recognized it. Amen. In the beginning, it was ugly and when they were done, it was beautiful, and in the beginning, it was disgusting, and boy, I tell you what, when they got done, it was desirable, and it went from being worthless to something very valuable, and I'm just watching, I'm kind of fascinated, I'm easily amused, you know, and I realized what was going on. I think they said the name, I don't know if it's the name of the show, or they certainly said what it was about. It was called Extreme Makeover, and they'd given this house an extreme makeover. You know, that fascinated me, that whole thing. Here's why. If you're in here tonight and you're saved, and I know many of you are, I don't know that everybody is, but if you are, you can think back to a time when you was much like that old house. That book says in Revelation chapter 4 that you are created, amen, for the pleasure of Jesus Christ. And that was your intended original purpose. But if you're saved here tonight, there was a time when you weren't. There's a time when you weren't, when you were more like that old house than you were that house after they got done with it. Amen. You were unfit for your intended purpose. And I'm going to tell you what happened. If you're saved in here tonight, if you're not saved in here tonight, you're not fulfilling your intended purpose. Your intended purpose is to bring pleasure to Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something right now. He'll get no pleasure from seeing you cast into a lake of fire in light of what Jesus Christ did to make a way for your sins to be forgiven. He'll find no pleasure in that at all. Lord created you to bring pleasure to Him, and my Bible says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. My Bible says in Luke chapter 15 that there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that cometh to repentance. You want to bring joy to your Savior, to my Savior tonight, make him yours. For those of you that are. For those of you that have made the transformation. For those of you that have had the extreme makeover, I can describe to you what happened in two words. I'm an evangelist, so I'm going to use many, many more than that. But I could describe it in two words. Here they are. But God. But God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. Amen. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us. Boy, I'm telling you what, I'm happy today that God interceded on my behalf and on yours, if you're saved in here tonight, interceded with love and mercy. If there's anything God needed to be rich in, amen, to save the likes of us, to consider the likes of us, to make a way for the likes of us, to have our sins forgiven, to have a clean slate, to be washed white as snow, to get our names in the book of life, if there's anything God needed to be rich in, it was mercy, and I'm happy to report that he is. I'm happy that book says in Romans 5, like we said today, that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Amen, amen, amen. I'll tell you what happened when you got saved. I think it was pretty extreme. You went from being a child of the devil to a child of God. That kind of extreme, amen? You went from being lost to being found. You went from, amen, you went from having your name on a list that was going to spend eternity in hell to the book of life. And those that have spent eternity, that's pretty extreme. 180 degrees, pretty extreme, amen? When you got saved, you got redeemed. You got born again. Amen. You got bought back. Amen. And the Bible says in Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out, man. I'm going to tell you what, yeah, that's an extreme makeover to be converted, amen, from a sinner, to a child of God. And that's what happened to you. Kind of like the house. And now you have the capability to be pleasing to your Creator. Now you have the capability, to be pleasing and fulfill your originally intended, your created purpose. And it's all because of that extreme makeover. Amen. I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's exactly what goes on when a person becomes a child of God. They get an extreme makeover. Amen? Let me give you some things about that. Let me say, first of all, that the extreme makeover is extremely necessary if you even think that there's any possibility and you spend an eternity in heaven. It's absolutely imperative. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Not heard of Christ. Not having read a book about Christ. Not having acknowledged that he is a historical figure. That's not what it says. It doesn't say, if any man know of Christ. That's not what it says. If that's what it said, that's the way I'd preach it. But it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. I can walk around this class, I better take a drink and put it down, huh? They brought me that big old bucket this morning, amen, and I never slowed down long enough to turn around and take a drink. And then when I got done, I looked at that thing and took two hands to pick it up. Amen, I'd have poured that all over myself today. Amen. Listen, here's what it doesn't say. You know, the Bible says a lot by what it doesn't say. Here's what it doesn't say. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be in church, he's a new creature. It doesn't say that. There's millions of Americans that were in church this morning that are hoping that's what it means, but it isn't. It isn't what it means. It isn't what it says. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be in the baptistry, he's a new creature. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that anywhere in that Bible. But there's people that believe that. It doesn't say if any man be a good person. Well, there'd be a lot of people bound for heaven. Listen, we could preach it like this, that everybody's a bunch of wicked, evil, but I'm just be honest with you, as an evangelist, traveling coast to coast, I run into a lot of nice people, friendly people. Amen. I think most Americans are pretty decent folks, doing the best they can, make a living, take care of the family. You watch too much television, you listen too much of the news media, you get the idea everybody's wicked, weird, and perverted. I'm here to tell you, as somebody that spends his life on the road, most people aren't that way. Most people are pretty decent folks. I don't have a hard time getting around, getting along with people. People treat you all right if you treat them all right. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this too. I'm obligated by my calling to tell you that being a good person isn't going to get you into heaven, isn't going to get you the extreme makeover. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. It doesn't say, therefore, if any man be reformed. It doesn't say, if any man go straight. Amen. Tell you what, 19 years ago, if I'd have went straight, I guarantee you I'd have went crooked again by now. Amen. Doesn't say if any man get rehabilitated. It says, therefore, if any man be in Christ. We're talking about this extreme makeover is extremely necessary to go to heaven. It doesn't say if any man turn over a new leaf. You don't need to turn over a new leaf. You need to become a new creature. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Either you're in Christ or you're not. That's the beauty of the gospel. It's either you got it or you don't. If you got it, that's settled. You are signed, sealed, and all but delivered. And if you're not, you need it. And you can still get it. But you need to understand, you need it. Amen? This extreme makeover is absolutely necessary. Nobody is going to heaven outside of being in Christ. Nobody's going to get there by being in Mohammed. Nobody at all. Jesus Christ died on the cross for every other religion, every other race, every other crowd. He died for everybody. And I'll tell you what, He is the way, the truth, and the life. And like I said this morning, I've had people try to argue, well, what about you, friend? That's what you need to think about today. What about you? Where are you going to spend eternity? I'm here to tell you, this extreme makeover is extremely, it is absolutely imperative. It's extremely necessary. If you even think for 1 second you're going to spend one millisecond in heaven, being in Buddha is not going to get you there. That book says in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Personally, I'm glad that this is like a multiple choice test with only one answer. I got a chance of getting that right. Amen. If there are three or four choices based on all the bad choices I made in my life, I'd probably blow this too. I'm glad it's not multiple choice. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Can you tell me what that means? Sure, I'd love to. It says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's what it means. And it's extremely necessary. Being in Christ is the only thing that's going to get anybody into heaven. Amen? I know that sounds narrow-minded, but I'm going to tell you this on a more positive note. You know, we want to balance this out with being positive, you know. That's so important to me. I'm so interested in being politically correct. Just a second. That stuff makes me sick. Amen. I'd like to say this to you, that the extreme makeover is extremely necessary, but it's extremely possible. And I'm really happy about that. Because that way I got in on it. Amen. I just look at people, man, I'm going, you know, if Dave Spurgeon can get saved, amen. I mean, what excuse could anybody have? Amen. Absolutely none. Why? Because the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, Lord Jesus Christ, that, watch this, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You're saved here tonight, it's because you got in on the whosoever clause. Amen, like me. Amen, whosoever. What does that mean? Well, if you trace that back to the original English, it means whosoever. Duh. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm happy to report that, listen, religion complicates this stuff. This stuff's not complicated. If it was, we'd be in more trouble than we're already in. Amen. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, it says this, and it shall come to pass, now this is Acts chapter 2, this is where most of the kooks, oh, that wasn't very nice, was it? Anyway, that's where most of the kooks get their doctrine, amen. Acts chapter 2, Acts is a transitional book, amen. You don't go to Acts chapter 2 to get doctrine for this age, amen. A lot of people try, though. It says this in Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, and it shall come to pass, it hadn't yet. He's preaching to Jews there. It hadn't yet. It's gonna, because it says, and it shall come to pass, that whosoever, there it is again, see, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I get travel around, I don't know what's around here, but I get spend a lot of time in, traveling around the country in the crowd that believes Act 238 is the definitive verse on salvation, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Amen. Listen, Alexander Campbell should have stopped at not at verse 38, but at verse 21. It says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He didn't need to go to verse 38 and go to the baptism. He should have just stopped right there and find out that salvation is by calling on the Lord. That it shall come to pass. And in Romans chapter 10, it did. In verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does John Calvin do with that verse? Calvinism upsets me. Now listen, I know some kooks, they got some things messed up about this and about that, but anybody that even implies that my God predestines anybody to a lake of fire, that's of the devil. I'm not tolerating that junk. Because when you try to say only elect's going up, that means there's people in this room that no matter what, they're going down. And I'm going to tell you something, that's not my God. I'm going to tell you something, I'm happy to report this extreme makeover is extremely necessary, but it's extremely possible. In one of the songs, I think it's in one of the songs, amen, I don't know, I've heard it said enough times, he'll save the guttermost to the uttermost. I know this isn't one of the hymns, talks about the vilest offender going free. I'll tell you what, that brings a tear to my eye, amen. Amen, you may struggle with your memory, but God doesn't. Amen. Amen. You may have friends that'll throw it in your face, but God never will. God will. One of the songs that we sing, not us, but one of the songs that's in one of the old camp meeting books, it goes like this. What sins are you talking about? I don't remember them anymore. That's the way it is. That's the way it is with God. Amen? Yeah, you might have to deal with them, but God's done with them. God's done with them because they're under the blood. Amen. I'm telling you, this extreme makeover is absolutely extremely necessary, but it's extremely possible. If you're Satan here today, your sins are gone. Your sins are gone. Amen. And I like to say this too. Anybody that goes to hell, and people do, and I guess I could prove to the Bible that most people are going to. But nobody has to. Nobody has to. And I'll tell you this right here, and I know this is true. Anybody that does, they do it despite the love of God. They do it in spite of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross of Calvary. Friend, if you could make it into heaven any other way, why would he have had to go to the cross? Just for us wicked people? Nobody's getting there without the blood of Christ. And if you die and go to hell, it's because you've neglected, like preacher said this morning, or flat out rejected the gospel of Jesus Christ. You've gone in spite of the word of God saying you don't have to, and the Lord's not willing that any should perish, and that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I dealt with that guy today. I heard him say, yeah, I'm saved, I'm just not doing right. And he got over here and he said, yeah, I got some problems and I belong to a bike gang. I said, let me ask you a question, man. All right, then look me in the eye right here and tell me where you'd go if you died right now. I didn't ask him to save. I said, where would you go if you died right now? He said, I'd go to hell. I said, that's what you need to be dealing with right now. You need to get your sins forgiven. You need to get saved. That's putting a horse before the cart right there. And that boy Nelton got saved today. Amen. What a crying shame this guy with all these tattoos and pins and ponytails and all. What a crying shame. Him and me and some of the rest of us will be in heaven and you won't. Because you didn't get a hold of the fact that it's extremely necessary and you didn't take advantage of the fact that it's extremely possible. And it's extremely possible. And please don't die and go to hell in spite of the Holy Spirit of God saying, come. Please don't die and go to hell in spite of folks praying for you. We sing that song, Somebody Prayed for Me. Listen, I tell you what, every testimony, everybody in here that says got a testimony, and some of us came from the uttermost and some from the guttermost, but everybody in here is a product of somebody praying for them.
Amen.
Now, if you're in here today and you're not saved, somebody's praying for you.
Amen.
Please don't die and go to hell. Please don't. Amen. It's your choice. It's your decision. It's your right. But oh, it'd be a bad choice today. Jesus Christ went to the cross to make it possible for your sins to be forgiven. I know people that have tried everything else. Well, I tell you what, they need to try Jesus Christ. He's the real thing, amen. But I tell you what, I never experienced this. I can't really comprehend this. I can understand it. I mean, you can lay it out to me and I can analyze facts and I can understand that there's people by comparison to the wickedness that's going on, don't see their need. Be reconciled to God. I've read that. I've never given it much thought. I started wondering what that means. In Christ's stead, it means instead of. Amen. Just like it means in our language, instead of. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ is not going to go out on the street and hand out gospel tracts. But you can. In His stead. He came. He did His thing. He had His earthly ministry. He went. He left us here. What? In His stead to do these things. He's not going to go preach in a jail. He's not going to go to a nursing home. He's not going to make hospital visits. He's not going to spend the time that some of you folks spent this week trying to get these kids to Jesus Christ. He's not going to do that. But we're supposed to. In His stead. He's not going to put His arm around somebody and who needs comfort and remind them that He'll never leave them or forsake them. And I mean, spiritually, He's always there, but you know what? We can do that. We can comfort one another. We can weep with those that weep sometimes. I mean, have you ever had anybody there for you on a bad day? They were there in Christ's stead. Amen. Amen. He's not going to get behind this pulpit and say, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But we still can, and we still better in His stead. Amen. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, any man, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, I've been preaching on this extreme makeover, and I'm going to say it again. It's extremely necessary to go to heaven. You're not getting to heaven without it. You're not going to, there's no new way. There's no different way. Jesus Christ says, I'm the way. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Narrow is the way. You want to know how narrow it is? It's as narrow as Jesus Christ. It's one man wide. That's how wide the gate to heaven is. One man wide. You're going to have to go in behind him or you ain't getting in. It's absolutely necessary. And as necessary as it is, I'm happy to report. I hope I never get tired of saying it's absolutely, extremely possible. He will save any and all that'll call on His name from an honest heart. Amen. That's the best news you ever heard. whether you got it yet or not. It's still the best news you ever heard. You're in here lost tonight. That's the best news you're ever going to hear. And I pray that you get it. You get it before it's too late. Hope you do. Hope you do. We don't do this for us. We're not doing this for the money. We're doing this in Christ's stead. Tell you, you do not have to pay the payment for your sin. Christ already paid it. Already paid it. Don't pay the devil twice. Amen. This thing here, this extreme makeover, will have some extreme evidence. It required an extreme measure. God manifests in the flesh. Not just born, but died. Crucified. Became sin. For you and me, I can't imagine what could be more extreme than that to God. And if you got this thing, it'll have some extreme evidence. Boy, I tell you what. Nobody would have ever believed that that old house I talked about at the beginning, when that thing was done, if you'd have seen a picture of that and a picture of the other one, a picture of it before they started, you'd have never believed it. You'd have never believed it was the same one. It changed radically. And if you've had this extreme makeover, something changed in you. Yeah, everybody don't need a shave and a haircut. Amen? Everybody don't need a new suit of clothes. Everybody wasn't. But I'm going to tell you what, something changes. And if nothing changes, I'd be real suspicious about my little prayer. Amen?
Amen?
Let me say it one more time. The extreme evidence is this right here. How seriously you take that responsibility to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Stonewall Jackson said, "My wish, your wish, is my command." Wonder what it would be like if a handful of us that claim to be Bible-believing Christians in these last days, instead of spending all our effort and our energy and our affection and our time on ourselves, would just come to God, come to church, come to our Bible, go to our knees with an attitude, "Your wish is my command." We'd make more of a difference than we're making. Don't you think that's what the Lord might have in mind, my desire out of this church in these last days? I think it would be. Extreme makeover. Father, I love you, and in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for giving me the liberty to preach. And God, I pray now that your people will be reminded, I'm sure they have been, about some things, not one thing they didn't already know. Lord, but I tried to remind them best I could this way, and I pray that we take this thing more seriously. And Father, if there's one in here that's not saved, I pray that tonight be the night they'd get the extreme makeover. Now I pray you bless Brother Mike as he comes, and bless the invitation, and may all that's said and done be pleasing to you. God, we owe it to you, and we want to please you. So speak to our hearts, Lord, in the course of these days. And I said ours. I mean mine. I thank you for your goodness. Now I pray you manifest yourself in a mighty way in the course of this invitation. May some people make some serious commitment decisions for thee. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, go ahead.
All right, I can't imagine you being here tonight and being saved and not being ministered to by that message. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved and you were listening at all, I know the Spirit of God was trying to get a hold of your heart, trying to show you your need, and was calling to you tonight. If your ears were open and you're not saved, then the Spirit of God was calling to you. Now, you may try to tune that out, and you may try to just pretend you didn't hear what God was saying to you, but tonight's an opportunity, whether you're saved or lost, to respond to whatever God said to you this evening. And we're going to give you an opportunity to do that. We're going to take a hymn book, we're going to sing a song, and then I'm going to make it easy. We are going to, after we sing this song, we're going to just gather here at the front, whole church, our whole church family. I want us, after we sing this song, just to come here to the front, and whatever need you might have in your heart, maybe the Lord just spoke to you about being faithful as a witness, being obedient, letting the world see the evidence of that salvation, you know, working out your salvation with fear and trembling, as the Bible says. That doesn't mean figure it out for yourself. That means let that work of God that began in you become evident outwardly. Let the world see the Spirit of God and let the world see Jesus Christ in your life. That's working out your salvation, working it outward. Maybe that's how God spoke to you through these messages. Or maybe you're lost tonight. Maybe the Lord helped you to see that. Maybe you realize you need to be saved. So let's sing a song together. And then we're going to come forward and just take a few minutes. We're not going to drag this out tonight. But I'm going to give you an opportunity tonight, whatever you may need to do this evening. Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord for what He's done for you. Maybe that message just spoke to you and just made you feel more grateful for what God's done for you. So I'm going to give you an opportunity to come and do that. Let's stand together. Get a hymn book if you would. And let's sing together.
375.
Number 375. Verses here together at the front, and I just hope the words of this